Heavenly Father, we come in your presence today to worship you and to give thanks to you and to hear from your word, from the Bible, to clean up our lives, to trust you, to trust Jesus. May all those things happen today in this service. So change our hearts and minds, Lord. Attune them to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So Pastor Tim and Carol are traveling this weekend. So he asked me to step in. Yay. This has been a difficult and a sad week. That's because of Charlie Kirk's assassination. Charlie took a stand for Jesus on college campuses around the country by debating political ideas with students and faculty alike. Love for Jesus and others was behind his passion for changing the hearts and minds of those who are in deception. Deception is so rampant in our society, and Charlie was a voice of reason and a voice for Christ. He's now heard the words of our Savior, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." When I get up front, I usually say something about my dad. So, my dad was so on fire for the Lord. As a young Christian, well, let me explain that first of all. He had a Jesus sticker on the rear window. It was huge. It was like this on the rear window of his truck. We had a phone number that spelled out a word, and it was on the bathroom walls at the high school. And people would type in the word. They didn't know for sure the phone number, but they would type in the word. It would ring at our house, and my dad would share the gospel with them. That's how he was. He was the most patient person. I've said this before. The most patient person I've ever known. But early in his Christian walk, he'd be in a church, and there'd be an invitation to come up front and accept Jesus. My dad and a friend would go up to help. And person after person after person would pray a sinner's prayer with my dad. And he started to do this. If somebody needs to be saved, bring them to me, because they're going to get saved. And it stopped, because it wasn't about him. It was about Jesus. So as I was writing this out, I'm thinking to myself, this is going to be sort of a salvation message today. And I'm thinking, well, make sure, Lord, make sure you bring a bunch of people in that need to get saved. But it's not about me. It's not about the message. It's about Jesus. And that's where we're going this morning. We're going to talk about truth. What is truth? Does it matter if we even find truth? Might it be okay for everyone to define truth their own way? Is there something that's true for everybody? Now, the truth I'm talking about isn't about questionable things where we all have a different preference. Lori likes sweet potatoes. I don't. I like Mopar products. Pat likes Ford. Neither of these are truth issues. I'm talking about ultimate truth that's defined by God himself. Most of you have placed your trust and your faith in the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've already discovered that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. For you, this message is an encouragement when you are talking with someone who wants to find the truth and the truth answer to life. As Christians, sharing truth needs to be at the center of our lives. People who have yet to trust Jesus may not realize that there's a spiritual battle raging for their very soul. If you don't have Christ, it's a losing battle. The enemy does not want an unsaved person to discover the truth. Satan is very happy with people who think that being a good person who does good works is going to get them to heaven. That philosophy may sound good, but it's not the truth. So you've helped people. You've paid your taxes. You went to church on Easter, and you went to church maybe on Christmas. The question is going to be, did you find the truth of Jesus? What did you do with him? Therefore, a person who wants to have peace with God will need to wrestle with this "what is truth?" question. Hopefully you do it sooner rather than later. There are times when someone believes a lie that's so blatant that we as Christians may think, how in the world did they come to that conclusion? Today's society is full of those types of conclusions and so-called truths. They aren't even based on science in some cases, let alone the Word of God. For those of us who have already come to the knowledge of God's truth and have trusted Jesus as Savior, Satan wants us to compromise some portion of the truth. An example of this is when a Christian thinks that sin doesn't matter because God's grace covers it all. Or we may think that our good deeds add to our free gift of salvation. Now, to the degree we compromise, Christians become less effective in spreading the gospel. To be most effective, we need to mature our walk and not have compromise. The Bible says that once having trusted that the blood of Christ has washed away your sins, you will spend eternity in heaven with Jesus. There's not a lot of information about heaven in the Bible, but Jesus, the one who loves us and is willing to die in our place, is going to be there, and I guess that's good enough for this side of eternity. So where do people go to find truth in regards to life, in regards to heaven, in regards to hell, in regards to eternity? If the Bible is not their starting point, they tend to decide their own version of truth. Man's truth and God's truth are two very different things. Finding your own truth usually allows that person to believe that good works will offer them favor with God. Man's truth may also bring a person to conclude that this is all that there is, and there's no sin judgment. To counter these lies, I believe the starting point we need is found in Scripture. It's in the Word of God. The Bible contrasts those who have trusted Jesus with those who have not. It's very clear what happens to a person who never finds the correct answer to the truth question, and I'll be addressing that in a few moments. Anything other than the truth of God's word is in direct opposition to what the Bible tells us. It's actually a deception. Now, I think there are three general sources of deception. One, self-deception. Two, there is deception from an outside influence. Three, it's also possible that God can choose to send a deception to someone who has continually rejected God's Holy Spirit during a lifetime of sin. Regarding self-deception, it becomes a huge struggle for so many who are unsaved because they don't have a foundational knowledge of the Bible, and they're not being led by God's Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul gives us a simple one sentence why, and it's a reason why, it's easy to be self-deceived. It's easy to turn away from the truth. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says this. It's spot on. People believe not the truth because they have pleasure in unrighteousness. People reject Christ and the message of the gospel. They've been deceived. They live by their own truth. Now, finding the truth isn't elusive. It's simply that unrighteousness, okay, let's call it what it is, sin. Sin leads a person away from God's truth, and sin's power over a person and sin's ability to mask truth is probably mankind's greatest challenge. In James chapter 1, he says to the Christian, "Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." These verses show that even a Christian can hear the word of God and not put it into practice in his life. The Christian won't be judged for this or lose their salvation, but he may be less effective in serving the Lord. This can make it a challenge to recognize and deal with the sin in a Christian's life. Also, that believer might lose out on some blessing. Besides self-deception, there's also times when an outside influence can cause a person to be deceived. Society can influence our thinking. If a majority in society believes something that is in direct opposition to God's word, it can be very difficult for an individual voice to be heard when they stand for truth. Society may even discourage us from sharing the truth of Christ. I personally know people who have come out of college with a totally different worldview than what they were taught at home and in the church. It's easier to go along with a crowd and listen to those who mock the truth of Jesus than to stand up for what you know is biblical truth. So yesterday at men's breakfast, Josh mentioned the process of deception that occurred in Nazi Germany. When we look at how the majority of Germans thought and how they were swayed by Hitler, we're shocked. It grew to the point where killing a Jew meant nothing. Why? Because Germans were influenced to believe that it was okay. Jews were considered subhuman. It even became official Nazi policy. The culture said, not only is it okay to kill a Jew, but it's even desirable. Those who disagreed, even though they weren't Jews, often lost their lives. It was a satanic influence, and many believed the lie. As the saying goes, the only thing necessary for the truth, the triumph of evil, is that good men do nothing. Now, a movie that I enjoy watching, maybe that's not the right word, movie that relays some of the truth of that era, Schindler's List. There's a section in Schindler's List where Oskar Schindler is talking to a Nazi official, I don't know, a colonel, a general, I don't know for sure. And this is a statement. This isn't just good old-fashioned Jew hate speech, it's policy now. That's the slippery slope of rejecting God's truth. Even now, an evil influence can walk right through the door of many churches that take the word of God lightly. To appear inclusive, which means you're welcome here and we won't confront your sin, they compromise Scripture. This allows a person to think that God won't judge sin and that there are no consequences to the behavior. Instead, the church needs to welcome those who want to attend, but then help them find what's God's best for their lives through a relationship with Jesus. Most people look for truth in places other than the Bible. Without God's help, it would be literally impossible for any person to actually find the truth. We need the ultimate standard for truth, which is the Bible, and we need the Holy Spirit of God to bring us out of darkness into light and see the truth of the gospel. Our inability to discover right and wrong on our own, to discover what's true and what's false, was predicted by the prophet Isaiah. Chapter 5, verse 20, this is what he wrote. They say that what is right is wrong, and what is wrong is right, that black is white, white is black, bitter is sweet, sweet is bitter. It's not that we're just a few degrees off in trying to find truth. On our own, we are 180 degrees opposite God's truth. This is where society is today. People don't even realize it. When the end of life buzzer sounds and time is up, all of the false claims, all the skewed ideas, all of those thoughts that people had that they accepted over a lifetime will be weighed on the scales of God's absolute truth. Whether they were self-deceived or deceived by an outside influence, the result will be the same. Getting the answer wrong to the question, what is truth, will bring an overwhelming and eternal regret. It comes with a most unhappy eternity. When a person comes to the wrong conclusion regarding truth, that person will be judged by the God of the universe. That's an awesome thing, and it's a scary thing. Now, maybe I've mentioned in the past, five words in the first chapter of Genesis have always struck me. In the order of creation, it says, He made the stars also. Five words. Just, I think I'll make some stars. Whoa. Have you looked at pictures of the universe? That's who you stand in front of, the one who created that. Ecclesiastes 12:14 says this, For God will bring every deed into judgment, along with every hidden thing, whether good or evil. When God's truth and grace have been rejected over a lifetime, there are two results. First, turning away from God's love and redemption brings emptiness, frustration, guilt, regret, and there are other things. No matter how much they search this side of eternity, that person will never find the answer they long for this question, what is truth? They chase everything in life but God, and the longings of their soul are never satisfied. That's the first result. Second, ignoring God's truth and grace will bring a horrible, eternal existence of separation from God's love and mercy. The description of this place of separation is extreme. It's called the lake of fire. It was actually created for the devil and his angels. So if you're hearing this today and haven't yet accepted God's truth, the good news is, you don't have to go there. I think about the lake of fire. I've been around a lot of fire in my life. I've never been burned. I have seen the results of people being burned. It's not pretty. It lasts forever, this lake. When I was preparing this sermon, I initially wrote an entire page about this place of torment. This is the final destination of someone who is not a believer. It's where they go after judgment. Here's the short version. It's terrible. There's no relief from the agony, no second chance, no mercy, no plea deal, no peace, no hope of redemption, no companionship. No one's going to stop by and say, Hey, Joe, how you doing? Not going to happen. There's the constant memory of having chased and lost all of life's seemingly good things. There's the memory of every rejection of the offer of salvation through faith in the Son of God. Throughout eternity, there will be the knowledge this didn't have to be my final destination. That's frightening. Relatives of mine, co-workers, supervisors, bosses, many people have treated me very well, very well. But the question won't be, how did you treat John? It's going to be, how did you treat Christ? What did you do with Christ? I've mentioned self-deception and being deceived by an outside source. Finally, I'd like to address the possibility of God himself sending a delusion. I believe this can occur over a lifetime of rejecting God's truth and rejecting God's grace. There's an event recorded in the last chapter of 1 Kings. We get a behind-the-scenes look into the spiritual realm. Ahab, the king of Israel, he has 400 prophets, and they tell him that he will be successful in recapturing Ramoth-Gilead from the Syrians. Micaiah, the Lord's true prophet, is told by Ahab's messenger, just agree with the 400 prophets. Don't make waves. Micaiah says he can only say what the Lord tells him to say, but then he goes in before Ahab and he agrees with the 400. What? Ahab calls out Micaiah and says, you need to tell the truth. This is when Micaiah says the following. I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd, and the Lord said, they have no master, let them return every man to his own house. And he continues, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one said this manner and another on that manner. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, by what means? And he said, I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he, the Lord, said, you'll persuade him and you'll prevail. Go do it. Needless to say, Ahab died in battle, just as the Lord had intended. God used a lying spirit to achieve his goal of taking Ahab's life for the evil that he had committed. This is a serious warning of the consequences when a person continually rejects God's truth. A person can reject God's truth for such a long time that it becomes very difficult to accept the truth. A heart can be hardened. A person's conscience can be seared. Salvation is not impossible, but for this person, it certainly becomes harder and harder. In Romans chapter 1, we see the downward progression of man into sin. This chapter lists sin after sin. During the list, Paul, three times, he says this, and God gave them over to. On his own, man falls deeper and deeper into sin. It's our nature. It's what we do. John chapter 18, we see that Jesus is before Pontius Pilate because the Jews want Jesus crucified. He's being judged by a Roman governor. That wasn't a surprise to Jesus. The Bible says that he knew all that was going to happen to him. This is amazing, and he could call on 12 legions of angels to deliver him from the Jews and from the Romans. I did the math. That's about 72,000 angels. One would have been enough. Jesus was in total control of the situation. Pilate conducts an interrogation to find out the level of threat to the Roman government. He finds none. Pilate asked Jesus, what is it that you have done? In verses 36 through 38, we read, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place. You are a king then, said Pilate. Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. What is truth? Pilate retorted. We don't know Pilate's frame of mind when he asked this question. We can't see the expression on his face. We can't discern the thoughts of his heart. Was Pilate actually looking for an answer to the question? What is truth? Was it rhetorical? Was it even cynical? Pilate stands inches from the man who's already declared, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus could have stopped by saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and only said those first two words, I am. These two words are what infuriated the Jews because Jesus was saying, I'm God. It connected him to what God told Moses to tell the Israelites while they were in Egypt. After telling Israel that God was going to free them, the leaders asked Moses, what's God's name? Moses simply said, I am has sent me. Jesus said, I am the way. Now, people think that there must be many ways to get to heaven. How could a loving God limit access to heaven through only one way, one person? That person who was crucified on the Roman cross. People have ignored God's truth and have defined their own truth about God. Some people think that all there is this life, and then it's the grave. That's the end. There is no God, no life after death. You only go around once in life, go for all the gusto. Both of these philosophies are lies from hell. Jesus is the way. That's a straightforward statement, no room for interpretation. It's the one and only way, with no other way possible, exclusive, and it's unearned by us. Jesus said, I am the truth. There's a lot of so-called truths out there today, but a person's own version of truth that opposes Jesus is wrong and a deception. If I hear something like, you have your truth and I have mine, I can only pray for that person and ask for God to change their heart. Jesus said, I am the life. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 20 that the lost soul will experience the second death. The second death is one of eternal separation from the God of the universe. Eternal life, however, is offered in Christ. If you reject that, you get the second death. The only way to eternal life is through Jesus and no other. Their fellow Jews asked Jesus many questions, mostly for nefarious purposes. I find it significant that the very last question asked of Jesus prior to his crucifixion was by a Roman governor, a Gentile. And that question was, what is truth? Here's the bottom line of truth. No one comes to the Father but by Jesus. When we stand before the judge of the universe, our lives have to measure up to pure holiness and pure perfection. None of us measure up to that standard. If we're honest, each of us have entertained sinful thoughts. We've all lied. We've all disobeyed mom and dad. Each foul word, even if it was never heard by another person, will be judged. Every thought will be under scrutiny, even if it was never disclosed. Every outburst of anger, each time we focus on ourselves, will be recalled as a witness against us. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. As Christians, we can rest in the assurance of salvation through the shed blood of Jesus on the cross, we are forgiven. We are sanctified. We're redeemed. There's no judgment for your sin. So what is truth? Can we find truth and have peace? Can we know that we're no longer under God's judgment and instead under God's grace and mercy? The resounding answer is yes. We can know. God wants us to know so that we don't live our lives in fear. We can have the assurance that our sin penalty was paid in full. We can experience his grace and mercy. He wants to be our friend, our father. God extends his love, mercy, and grace to each of us every day, whether we recognize it or not. This is a world full of people that are lost in the throes of deception. As Christians, we are called to stand up for truth, to share the salvation message, to share that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We can tell people that the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave validated all his claims for life. Maybe you have friends, family, co-workers who don't want to hear what you have to say. They don't want to hear the truth. Don't give up on them. Pray for them. Ask God to soften their heart. Prayerfully, they will stop believing their own truth and accept God's truth. The consequences for rejecting Christ and his work on the cross are beyond dire. They last for all eternity. Does truth matter? Yes, it does. So let's pray. Truth or consequences? Okay, Lord, be there any heart here that has yet to trust Jesus as their Savior, to find the way, the truth, the life, and believe the statement, no man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus said that. Lord, if there's anybody here that is being stirred by the Spirit of God, help them, move in them to trust Christ today. And for each of us, Lord, as we share with others, to keep in mind there is a truth. And we're being inundated with all sorts of deception. But the truth of God stands firm. The church will not fail because it's lifted by the God of the universe. Should that person be thinking, even this morning, I need a Savior? In a few moments, I'm going to ask that person to come up and sit in the front row. We're going to sing a song. Let it stir your heart. Come find the truth if you've not already. Trust Jesus. Amen.